And we're back. Guys, it's National Voter Registration Day.
Today?
Yeah, the day that we're recording.
The day that we're recording.
Which means that if you're listening to this, you should have already registered to vote yesterday if you weren't registered.
That's very Inception.
It's like Back to the Future up in here.
Voting is one of maybe three things I've ever done that actually feels only good, that I have no regrets about. I'm trying to think what the other ones are.
Pomading your hair in the morning.
I'm going to say defending the career of women who made alternative rock in the 90s. I spent a lot of time doing that.
But voting's the best of those three.
Yeah.
You know what? Okay. It's in the top three. I don't want to be impetuous.
Also, I've seen a lot of people who were checking their voter registration status via Vote Save America and saw that they were not registered and they thought they were registered. And this has happened to me.
They're dropping all the black people from the voter rolls.
Especially, America. Yeah. Double check that shit. Double check that. Because I have also gone in to vote at the same place that I vote all the time. And they like didn't have my name and it was a whole thing. So double check. They're being sneaky.
Yeah. Votes of America. Anyway, I saw Beyonce this weekend, which is almost as important.
No, I have a question about that. As a lifelong bugaboo, are you even invited to that concert?
As a lifelong bugaboo.
A lifelong bugaboo?
So what? You bought Beyonce tickets. Now I guess you think she owes you.
I don't even want to talk about Beyonce anymore. I want to file a restraining order. I thought we were getting rid of him like 2 years ago.
You know, we haven't made that. Lewis, no one has made a get rid of Lewis joke in a long time. I know I haven't.
It's been a couple months.
Because we got comfortable. We got too comfortable. That's how single white female happens.
I can't believe you'd use Jennifer Jason Leigh against me, first of all, when I'm out here defending the show Atypical on Netflix.
What's that about?
Autistic kid who is used to be on United States of Terror. Yeah. Also,
is it a sequel?
Say what? No, it's not.
Oh.
Yeah. I had another question. Oh, was it a bad concert? You know she doesn't like to rehearse.
Yeah, it was trash. obviously. No, it was actually really good. And just like last On the Run, I'm always shocked how much I enjoy watching Jay-Z perform.
Jay-Z's a really charismatic performer, and he doesn't do a lot.
He doesn't,
doesn't do much, but he's like
standing there, throwing his hands up, and then Beyonce will slide out for a quick choreo.
Yeah, I mean, Jay-Z's always just like in a very cool outfit, and he gets up there and raps, but he's like a very engaging person to watch.
Yeah. I also think his style's gotten better.
It has.
Yeah.
Well, it's certainly more noticeable thanks to the Ape Shit video. I feel like I was like, woo, that's a sharp man.
Yeah.
Also, I heard they flashed Jane Fonda's mugshot during the concert, too. Don't worry,
that's
70 people texted me.
That's all you heard about.
Yes. They did it last time, too, but, you know, friends of ours were there who know Jane Fonda this time.
I'm glad
I'm sure they sent you a text.
This is why Beyonce has concerts, to teach people about Jane Fonda. I'm glad that truth is out there now.
Oh, now he's really got to go.
When we're back, Lewis will not be here. We're going to replace him with a potted plant. So, John Lovett. When we're back, we're going to talk about Jesse Williams, Nike, and Emmett Till.
Ooh, three things I never thought we'd say together.
On Monday, Grey's Anatomy star Jesse Williams took to Twitter to promote his upcoming film, Till, based on Mamie Mobley Till's journey for justice following the lynching of her 14-year-old son, Emmett Till, in 1955, Mississippi. Jesse, for some reason, decided that he would place the recent Colin Kaepernick Nike slogan, believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything, against two photos of Emmett Till's sobbing mother. Naturally.
Over the casket, by the way.
Over the casket. Yes. Naturally, people were not having it. This was so dumb.
I don't.
What possessed him? Who did it?
I mean, I feel like it also looked like he did it. It looked like he did it in like an app.
He did it how I make my memes,
right?
Using Instagram stories.
Right. I don't know. It doesn't. I feel. Guys, the Nike thing was cool. It was great. We like it.
It was fun.
But yeah. It's only for that.
Yeah, right.
It's only for selling sneakers. And, you know, and fitness wear. That's all we should be using that slogan for. Not to evoke the horror of the lynching of Emmett Till.
We sort of really got out of pocket with that meme the entire first week after it happened.
Because
people were memeing everything.
And it went in like 70 directions. Like some was parody, some was sincere. So that it suddenly became the wild, wild west of when you can and can't use, you know, that or why you should use it.
And now...
In a way, it's like, I don't want to say I'm sympathetic, but it's like, so he's clearly very attached to this project and making this movie, I'm sure, great, because he's been like among the like woker Twitter celebrities in recent years. So a part of me almost thinks you just are too obsessed with the project. You forgot to like take a step back and realize this is just a shoe slogan.
This
you know?
Is why I feel like famous people, you have a buddy who doesn't have a lot going on, who responds to texts really quickly, and you just run shit by that person. You just send him a screenshot. You workshop it a little bit. You say, what do you think? Because there's no way on earth anyone with sense saw that meme and said, you know what, Jesse? Hit send. Go for it.
He is currently shooting the 15th season of Grey's Anatomy.
Where someone gets struck by lightning every episode.
He couldn't have asked Shonda real quick.
Ellen Pompeo might have been like, I don't know. I don't know about this.
Do you think Shonda hit him when he came to set?
I don't know. And now I feel like also you're just, I mean, the movie, I don't know when the movie's coming out. I assume not super soon. So.
Yeah, I think he still has to make it and pass and whatever. So we'll probably forget about this by then. Twitter won't forget. They'll bring it up.
I mean, the other thing for me, too, about the movie, when I saw that he was making the Emmett Till movie, and, like, far be it from me to say we don't need to tell the story of Emmett Till, but this is sort of, I think this gets into my thing when I had written about, like, not liking quote-unquote slave movies, and I actually would sort of put this in that category, in that there is probably an Emmett Till-esque story that happened in, like, 1996, and that would be very shocking to white people who didn't realize that shit like this was still happening to black people very recently. Like, we're very familiar with the Emmett Till story. People know, and it's one of those things where you can be like, we know slavery was bad. But it's when you start getting into, like, the 1930s when, like, black people were getting lynched all the time where people don't really know about that. And we can all agree that slavery was bad. You can all agree that the Emmett Till thing was bad and unjust. And I would like more stories that... I think also when you do things that are so far back in history, it makes people think that that's all really in the past. And so I sort of, that's why I want, when I say that, like, I don't like quote unquote slave movies, I sort of want newer projects that remind people that these things are still very much issues we're dealing with.
I was going to say it reminds me of why I always take like flinch when a movie like The Danish Girl comes out, because not that, you know, one of the first trans surgeries isn't an important thing, but it's also so old, it's like 105 years old or whatever, that people think the kind of homophobia that existed then is just old. Like, they forget to relate it to the now. They're just like, can you believe how people acted back then, and forget to think, no, we're still those people.
That's why I liked, like, you know, even though it was about like the KKK, Black Klansmen, you know, because it's set at least in the 70s, the recent past, and, you know, we made sure to relate it to what's going on now with the KKK and shit in America.
Yeah.
And also recently I saw If Beale Street Could Talk, which is fantastic.
I have not heard enough about that movie. I was worried it was bad because I hadn't heard
anything.
It's so
fucking good.
Yeah.
But that's also like a movie that's set in the recent past of Black American history, and it's like, we have other stories to tell in the past.
I mean, also,
I want to see other Black period pieces.
Also, frankly, I mean, lynching was a form of terrorism. You could make a lot of arguments now that, like, when the police are gunning down unarmed Black people on the street, like, that is a form of domestic terrorism, the way that, like, the fear that it strikes in Black people. And I'm like, you don't want to talk about that, because that's going to make, you know, people are going to have, that's a more divisive conversation, and white people aren't going to respond as well to pointing those things out. And so I think that sometimes when you put things too far in the past, it makes it so that we all know that was bad. Like, obviously, Martin Luther King was good. Obviously, slavery was bad. But if you're like, what about Rodney King? One, that's when people start to show their asses. And frankly, those are the conversations we need to be having.
I don't know. MLK reportedly stole some money from my grandmother once.
Wait, do you remember my favorite?
Do you want to go down on history slandering Martin Luther King Jr.?
Do you remember, speaking of like woke Twitter celebrityness of recent years, do you remember when Zac Efron said, it was Martin Luther King Day.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes, happy Martin Luther. You know what? He goes, I'm grateful for two things today. Martin Luther King and 10 million followers on Instagram. Black fist emoji.
Wasn't it like a picture of him in a car, too?
It was like waving to the crowd. Yeah. I pictured him like bursting into air guitar after that tweet.
Maybe Zac Efron will play Emmett Till.
Yeah. Oh, God. Here's hoping. This is the break he needs.
He is definitely a celebrity who I feel has walked away from social media.
Right.
Rightfully so.
Yes.
Well, isn't his like social media like team Zac Efron? Like, who's really doing it?
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
No, but I know he definitely wrote that.
Also, so as of this recording, Jesse has not responded.
He still has not responded. He deleted that tweet.
Oh, he deleted the tweet.
He deleted the tweet. Moved on.
Oh, okay. He deleted the tweet. Okay.
But has not addressed it. Which is smart.
That's smart.
Because the minute he tweets about it, someone's going to dissect it and be like, that's not enough.
I know. Then he's going to have to like go on The Daily Show and talk. It's just going to be like a whole thing.
You know, he's going to give you like the 8-page apology, like the Scarlett Johansson, like $1,500 an hour PR apology for taking that one
or
trans
role. Or like a notes app apology.
Oh, wow.
I feel like the only
Amy Schumer.
The only goal any celebrity should have is to never have to issue a notes app apology. That's the only bar.
Plus, Jesse Williams has an app. You know, so he could...
He could emoji his apology?
We interviewed him about it on Pod Save America. He could... Can't he, like, send people a message, say I'm sorry?
An apology emoji?
Yeah, I think it's like it's a black app.
Yeah, ebroji.
Yeah. He could send an emoji.
Colin Kaepernick emoji?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, or you know, like the one tier emoji. That lets you know that someone's really sorry.
He should actually tweet his apology all in emojis. That is our professional advice.
With
Jesse.
A black power
With
fist.
With a black power fist.
When we are back, we are going to talk about the Super Bowl.
Well.
I guess. Who cares? Some people care. We'll be back. Multiple sources have claimed that Maroon 5 is slated to headline the February 2019 Super Bowl halftime performance in ATL, Atlanta herself.
By the way, there aren't even 5 of them. What is wrong with Maroon 5?
There's not?
There's like 7 of them.
Okay, well.
Really?
We're going to get into that.
Okay.
You and your unfounded comments about Maroon 5.
I wasn't the worst of it, sweetheart,
but
we'll see.
With the success of their hit song, Girls Like You. That song is awful. Sorry. But it's featuring Cardi. It just recently went to number one, making it their 4th number one single and Cardi's 3rd this year.
Nikki. Can I say something about that? That's too many number ones in a row. It's an Ashanti situation. I'm worried. We all remember 2002 very well. And then what happened?
Yeah,
Muppet
Beyonce.
Wizard of Oz and then nothing.
The solo Beyonce. She's no Ashanti.
Right. Yeah. I remember that.
New York Times headline.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Cardi B is going to go the way that was Ashanti.
No.
We're all very hopeful.
Ja Rule's not in the mix.
Oh, that's true.
Also, she's had her own number one singles.
Yes. And she didn't start her
Ashanti.
Career singing the vocals on J-Lo albums.
Ashanti did?
Girl.
I didn't know that.
J-Lo's second album is all Christina Milian and Ashanti vocals.
Oh. Wow. You mean like hybridized?
Yes.
Like, oh, wow.
Anyway, because Maroon 5 and Cardi just got their big number one, people are hearing reports that she is in negotiations to perform with them at the Super Bowl. There was also talk of Travis Scott potentially joining.
What?
I don't know. He's black and he's popular right now.
I mean, they one time just threw Missy Elliott with Katy Perry. I mean,
Missy Elliott is like a titan.
True.
That's true, yes.
Pop culture.
Well, I remember also when Aerosmith performed and it was like, and here's NSYNC and Britney and Nelly and Mary J. Blige. a lot of people are upset on the internet as usual. I feel like we could say that every week. But they want the NFL to consider the city's own roster of hip-hop legends like Outkast, Gucci Mane, Future, T.I., or even Luda.
Because the NFL has shown such regard for black people that, course, they're going to take this opportunity to give some shine to black artists.
Yeah, y'all niggas come on stage. We love black people. Don't kneel.
For the most part, the Super Bowl halftime show is like the Times Square of like pop music, right? It's just like whatever is playing.
It is.
Whatever plays at Cold Stone, they want that
On the stage. Well, also, you know, it's, I assume Maroon 5 will drop a new album the week after the Super Bowl. Like, it's all so choreographed and like specific and just like, you know, contrived. But I mean, Maroon 5. But do they have enough hits?
I was going to say, they're kind of the world's most popular band that doesn't have any fans.
Payphone, If I Never See Your Face Again, all of Songs About Jane is a bop.
Oh, did you just suggest that Rihanna's going to show up for this?
Misery.
Because no. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I think Moves Like Jagger is a great song.
I love Maroon 5. This is my coming out party.
But I would like to poll. I'd like us to walk on down to Sunset Boulevard. And I'd like us to pull. I want people to hum two Maroon 5 songs. One cannot be Moves Like Jagger.
Okay.
I bet you.
Payphone?
I bet you no one can do that.
Well, Girls Like You is number one right now, so people probably know that.
I don't even know what that sounds like.
You know that? Girls Like You, A.
That could be literally any song.
Okay, yes. I mean, it's also Tchaikovsky's song. Whatever.
Also, electro recording artist Ira Madison here with his vocals. no, Maroon 5 is a band, though. I think you were talking about this a little bit earlier. Maybe I saw it on Twitter. They started out as one band and then accidentally became this other thing when they became really popular. Like songs like Jane or Songs About Jane, that album that has like This Love and She Will Be Loved and Sunday Morning on it.
Yeah.
You would hear this band alongside bands like Fuel once upon a time. They were like VH1 rock artists. And then the world turned them into... It's sort of like the Black Eyed Peas. They started as a band you would hear at 2 a.m. on VH1, and then they became, as I said several times on this podcast, Kazoos and Jackhammers.
Yeah, it was really their second album when they had that hit with Rihanna that was a... If I Never See Your Face Again.
I don't know what that
is. It was a song with Rihanna, mm-hmm. but it was a bonus track on their second album. It was...
What era
it was
of Rihanna? What kind of hair did she have?
It was very SOS era.
No, okay. It was...
After that?
After SOS, it was
before Umbrella.
It was Good Girl Gone Bad era.
Oh, so it's the same era. Okay.
But it was a big hit, and so Maroon 5 started leaning into radio pop music, and they basically shifted into being another band. About Jane is a completely different band.
The thing is, I had, as I think I've said on this exact podcast, that I did not watch the Super Bowl last year because I hate the NFL. And I don't plan on watching this year. I haven't watched any football, but had it been like Rihanna, I would have obviously had to turn on the halftime show and then quickly turn it off. And now I don't have to even do that. Now I can go about my day. I can watch Made in Manhattan on TBS or whatever they'll be showing. I can spend my afternoon doing that instead of waiting to watch.
Well, that's disappointing because I know how much you enjoyed the Justin Timberlake performance last year.
That's true.
It was.
I forgot we watched that.
We talked about it.
Oh, yeah.
On this very show.
I even have forgotten all these halftime shows, frankly. Like if it's not Beyonce or Bruno Mars in the last 5 years, truly couldn't tell you.
Beyonce and her cop killing black power performance.
Featuring Coldplay?
Yeah.
That's the weirdest thing. Forget they were there for
that. You know what I will say, though? Cardi B, because Cardi doesn't know how to act. If Cardi is a performer, you know she might do something dumb, like yell out like Colin Kaepernick. Oh. That might be worth it because she doesn't have any sense and she doesn't care and she might do something real dumb that would be really funny and embarrassing.
Definitely throw a shoe at somebody.
She might do something.
I forget also, like, people I don't think have experienced her much as a live performer. And she was so good in the footage I saw at Coachella. So actually, I look forward
pregnant.
To her maybe killing it here.
Yeah, she was
so good when I was at Coachella watching her.
We're all impressed that you go to concerts. I don't know where this came for your brand. I don't know.
Thank you. You?
Congrats.
What were you saying?
I was saying she was real pregnant at Coachella.
Oh, yeah.
She was hella pregnant, and she was also twerking on the floor.
Yeah.
So.
But I will be surprised if they let Cardi perform.
Yeah.
I'll be surprised. Just because, like, the...
Too black adjacent.
Yeah, also, like, Maroon 5, that just signals to me. Also, like, with the Colin Kaepernick stuff, with the Nike ad, like, I just have a hard time believing they're gonna risk it.
Actually, what I hadn't thought of is the fact that if Maroon 5 is performing, they'll probably just trot out other people from The Voice.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Kelly C.
Blake will come out.
Oh my God.
Who is on The Voice now?
I think it's Blake and.
Oh no! I remember.
Christina left.
I remember the billboard. Hudson. It's Jennifer Hudson.
Okay, is Kelly Clarkson was just on.
No, it's Kelly Clarkson.
Kelly Clarkson, Jennifer Hudson, Blake Sheldon.
Uh-huh.
How is this show still on, man?
Remember when CeeLo was on before the rape stuff?
I do. Yes.
Yeah. Remember CeeLo?
No.
I mean, did he should. They might bring him out. It is Atlanta.
Here's my question. Are there repercussions? Okay, do you remember during the Madonna Super Bowl when MIA like flipped off the camera or whatever? So, I mean, I'm just saying, if MIA...
Les Moonves tried to destroy MIA's career.
I'm sure. No, but like if people like Madonna can bring in other people that normally wouldn't occupy like the center stage of, you know, the Super Bowl. So actually, I think there is some hope for Cardi B.
Who performed with Justin last year? Anyone? Wasn't it just him?
I believe
just him and a few Gap employees.
It was right. It was like, it was piles of denim.
Yes.
And he wore tie-dye at one point.
Tie-dye?
Yes.
Or no, yeah. He was wearing that camo.
Yeah.
Or that like hunter camo.
It was very Christmas is coming to Eddie Bauer. Yes.
I don't know. I'm just glad Justin's Man of the Woods era was a disaster. I want him to go away.
Bro-Ann. I mean, we nailed it. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we shouldn't care about the Super Bowl. They hate black people. Maroon 5, I'm the only one who likes them here. It's fine. Whatever.
I think they're
fine. I'll watch
fine.
The performance.
I just think you they're know. Like a living Old Navy gift card. Like, all right, I guess I need flip-flops, but I'm not like obsessed with them.
Also, that there's not five of them is...
confusing.
That's silly.
Maroon is also exactly the color they are. Like, I guess kind of goes with the room. Whatever.
The current members of Maroon 5 are Adam Levine, Jesse Carmichael, Mickey Madden, James Valentine, Matt Flynn, PJ Morton, Sam Farrar.
Good Lord.
And past member Ryan Doucet.
Mickey Dolenz, Davy Jones.
One of them's black.
No, and he released solo albums and won Grammys for them.
Yeah. He's like accomplished.
What if they?
He's like John Legend in La La Land.
What if they like Trojan horsed it, and they're like Maroon 5 were performing, and then they just let the black guy kneel for 15 minutes.
Oh, and then pointed at him.
Yeah.
Adam Levine, let somebody else take the spotlight. He's gonna come out in a tight little white shirt.
He does like those tight shirts.
He's so pretty.
That band, he is like devastatingly pretty. He, to me, that band is like if the Police just made music for like 4-year-olds' birthday parties. Just like, high pitched, dancing.
I see a lot of red lights at birthday parties, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. Do yeah. you? Okay.
Yeah. Little Amy. You don't have to put on that red light.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Roxanne references for the people here.
That feels like enough.
Did we do it?
When we're back, we're going to talk about our Hollywood power lists with Insecure's Natasha Rothwell. This past week, The Hollywood Reporter released their annual list of the most powerful people in entertainment. So, of course, we brought one of the most powerful people in entertainment themselves here, Natasha Rothwell from Insecure, Love, Simon.
Where you slayed.
Soon to be Wonder Woman 1984.
Woo! Soon to be.
Get
hello.
Those blockbuster dollars.
Yeah.
So, this list included people like Oprah at number 18, Shonda Rhimes at 30. That is very low.
That feels low.
The Rock at 38, Ellen DeGeneres at 44, Donald Glover at 42, Jordan Peele at 55, LeBron James at 75, Tiffany Haddish was 79, John Chu was 98.
Our friend.
And Ronan Farrow, who I have it on good authority, has maybe heard of Keep It. Was number 100.
Who was number one?
Number
Bob Iger.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. Mr. Disney himself.
The overlord, yes.
Ronan at 100 feels low. I mean, he's the meter maid of the patriarchy. He's just coming over here giving tickets.
Tickets.
He is Ghostface running around Hollywood, hacking up people.
What's your favorite scary movie? Miramax?
I feel like Ronan is going to use that list as a reference for his next
stories.
They're going to be like, oh, let's just go down this list. Yeah. Surely there's someone to pop.
Yeah. He is Emily Thorne in Revenge. He has his red marker.
It's real.
All right. What do we think of this list? This power list.
I don't know. What do you think, Natasha?
What does power mean to you, Natasha?
I don't have a lot of it. I'm black and a woman, so I have to fight for the power I have. So it's an interesting. I looked at it last night, and I was, before I even read it, I was just like, this is going to be the widest list ever. Mm-hmm. But it was more diverse than expected, but also very, like, still very white. And surprising.
There was one ethnic person in the top 10.
What?
Yes, it's a woman, okay. Lisa Nishimura,
who produced my Netflix special.
Yeah, so she shared number 9 with her fellow Netflix VPs.
Yeah,
but she is the only person of color in the top 10.
Yeah, and a lot of those groups were just like one black person, and then like number whatever 34 is like 3 white dudes, you know, like it was like grouped together.
Yeah.
So she's like, you're just trying to get by saying like this was one sort of like, you know, cis slot.
But right.
There's really like 131
there
people.
There really are. I was too tired to count up heads last night. But
I will say though, I'm used to like lists like this being sort of slapdash and like, you know, it just feels like they put certain people on the list to like appease. But this to me felt pretty comprehensive and like you could actually learn something from this. It's not like Rolling Stone doing their list of like the 500 greatest bomber jackets Bono ever wore or whatever the fuck they talk about.
Yeah. I do feel like I learned a lot reading it. You know what I mean? Because it was just like, oh, I don't know this name. Where you feel like it was going to be like a who's who.
Well, I think that a lot about like working in Hollywood when I realize how many of like the people that actually make decisions, I'm like, I don't even know who that is.
Yeah.
And like those are like the real quote unquote power players.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking to them.
They ain't invited to no parties.
Yeah, we haven't been to brunch.
I don't know them. I was not invited to frolic in a field with nary one of them. So I do not feel power.
And it's also not a list, obviously, of money.
Right.
It's, like, who's the
richest? How do you define? I'm like, what does that mean? Power. Like, how is?
Well, Bob Iger at number one makes sense because Disney controls everything.
Right, and there's the mergers happening and all of that.
Disney probably produces
people. Yeah, because I feel like there's like, in the Venn diagram of this list, most lists it's just like money power, but this is like money power like tastemakers.
Yes, totally.
So I feel like that's why this list was intriguing to me, because I was just like, oh, it's not all like the classic two where it's just like you're rich or you're just like, you know.
If it's tastemakers, where are all the people selling fit tea?
Also, this list taught me that, like, just everybody works at NBC Universal. Like, you're telling me there's, like, 70 white men in a room being like, and America's Got Talent must come back.
Yes, that's literally what's happening.
That's what goes on. What about Heidi Klum again?
Yeah. We decided we wanted to make our own power lists. So, here we go. This is the Keep It Power List.
Here we go.
Who should we start with?
We're going to start with Kara's list.
Okay. I did four names. Well, so one of the people I had was Ronan Farrow, Jane Mayer, Jodie Kantor, and Megan Toohey, who at the New Yorker and at the New York Times, who were just ruining men's lives.
Loving it.
And that's all I want, truly, in the world.
Sisterhood of the Traveling Reporters.
I have Beyonce's hair team.
Oh, sure.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yes.
Who is more powerful than them?
I believe they actually control the weather.
Homegirl is flipping that with the fans, and the wigs are still there, and I don't know. I have no idea how it's done.
As an addendum, whoever sets up all the fans at her show
to highlight the
hair team, because everywhere she walks on stage, the hair is whipping.
It's not classic, like below her from the stage, the wind is coming from like
multiple directions,
like above, like there's just like it's insane.
They've made a cyclone. I'd also like to add the person, whoever that is, who kept Mel Gibson off of Twitter. Because truly, I feel like that psychotic man has only just been itching, you know, to get the Twitter fingers hot and ready. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there was someone who had the ability to say, you know what, Mel?
If you want.
There's only a hole so deep.
And you think it's a silent hero? Just like
I think it's we'll never know.
He really wants to get on Twitter.
You know, like, he does.
Being anti-Semitic on Twitter is hot right now.
Yeah, it's like in. Yeah.
I know. He would have had. Yeah, he'd
this
have.
This is his time to shine.
The Nazis are thriving on Twitter. This is his lane. Oh,
he might have turned into like a James Woods, to be honest.
Sticking in the social media category, I have whoever edits Will Smith's Instagram.
Because his producers.
The producers of those Instagram videos are better than, yes. I'm going to say, every movie I've seen this year.
It was incredible.
They're unbelievable.
True. Like, would you be surprised if Mark Burnett were actually responsible for them? I would not be.
Ang Lee did his recent vacation. I'd be like, oh, yes.
Yeah.
That absolutely tracks.
Yeah, especially his In My Feelings Challenge video.
That was a drone shot. I was just like, what?
And weren't they in like Hungary or he was somewhere?
He was in Budapest.
I'm going to start auditioning for his Instagram.
I'm saying.
They're going to get nominated.
The spot to be.
The other amazing race.
Well, you know, Natasha has been on BoJack Horseman.
Yes.
And they had done, when they did like spoof the Golden Globes and they had like best book and best Instagram, I feel like it's going to happen. And then lastly, I have Noah Centineo, who is just ruining women's lives. With a power I have never seen before. I have seen grown women lose their minds, become incapacitated. I tweeted my theory a couple weeks ago. I think that he was a plant by Russia to make it so that all women won't vote in the election, specifically black women. I think they want to pacify us. We'll be too busy looking at Noah's Instagram. And it's a power I've never seen
before. I feel like he recently did this photo shoot, too, for no reason other than to post it on Instagram.
He did.
And
that's power.
That's power.
It's like, and I steal that power from
gay
men.
I will scroll and hate it and be like, who's looking at all like me? Me.
Yeah.
And then you'll be like, I forgot to vote.
What day is it? Oh, my God. It's November 7th. I hate myself.
If he, like, winked at me, I feel like I would have like a Beatlemania like reaction, just like clutching my face, you know, like somebody in the audience at The Price is Right, you know,
power.
One of those. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go into the dinner scene from Beetlejuice.
Really?
Yes.
I'd be looking for an electronic panel like Small Wonder because I'm convinced he's a robot. I would just start touching him and being like, where's the panel?
Who are you working for?
Who are you working for?
That might be the first Small Wonder reference on Keep It. Thank you so much for bringing
you're
it
so
to
welcome.
Us. Tiffany
Happy
Brissett.
To be here.
Yes. Yes. Right. Mm-hmm.
So that was my power list.
Yeah.
Shall I?
Natasha's power is obviously appealing to Lewis.
Somebody's got to. Not going to be your dumbass.
All right.
Okay, here's mine.
I can talk about the original One Day at a Time with Mackenzie Phillips.
See, look at you. Now you want my approval.
What's your list?
Okay. We can talk about Valerie Bertinelli later. Okay, number five. I feel like these people secretly control everything. Woke teens. Just like if you're a woke teen, we're one, afraid of you. We don't know what you're capable of. You'll tweet something and ruin any random person's life with good reason. And then we want to make TV shows for you too.
Right.
You know what I mean?
We'll think that we know something and then a teen will respond to you. Actually, that's outdated and we don't use that terminology anymore. Right. I was like, damn, I thought it was still called a hamburger.
Right. When did we change it?
Teens will flame the fuck out of you.
Right.
I've changed trains in New York to avoid like groups of teens.
See?
Like truly, I'm not even kidding. Like if a school, like it's school letting out and a group of like teenagers get on, I'm like, this is my stop. And I will get off just out of fear and respect.
That's
honestly.
Just it. We're afraid of them like in person and conceptually.
Yes.
There are layers to the fear they bring to our lives. Yeah. Yes. Number four. I think this is also a terrifying person who can do whatever he wants. Steve Harvey? Name one thing this man is not allowed to do.
In his own mind?
Right.
Wear awful suits.
He can't announce beauty contests.
P.S. On Celebrity Family Feud, he had like the Kardashians on 70 times or something. Like he had real people. Like who else was that? Like Kanye.
Speaking of the Kardashians. Maybe the funniest tweet unintentionally that Kim Kardashian has ever tweeted was she tweeted about Celebrity Feud and she said, I can't believe that Jonathan Siobhan flew all the way from New York to be on Celebrity Feud with us. Like, bitch, are you surprised?
Wait, he took an opportunity to be on television? What a crazy idea.
He flew Spirit Airlines immediately.
Yes.
Number three, Jack Hay, and I'll tell you why. Her Twitter recently on the fuck fire.
Did you see her reel of just saying, Mary?
Yes, for her. It was for the anniversary of 227. Yes. Oh. And with Regina King's recent third Oscar or Emmy win, it just feels appropriate. Yeah. I don't have to tout Jack Hay anymore, I don't believe. Number two, you know who is not on this list that surprised me? Adele. Here is somebody who, I think truly if we were like, well, Adele, all countries have decided that we need one emperor and you seem bored at the moment. You don't have an album coming out. Would you like to be it? And she'd be like, I'm okay.
I stopped at Starbucks this morning and bought three copies of 21. I feel like I still needed it.
No, right. Exactly.
It's so good.
It's right at the counter next to like the scones.
Yeah. you play them all at the same time. You call it 63. You're like, I'm just going to feel it.
That was some quick math.
That was quick math.
Yo, and it's early. It was addition. Don't clap.
And number one, again, I believe power also has to do with, you know, I said this regarding the woke teens, terror. The scariest, most powerful person who ever lived is Ellen DeGeneres. First of all, she dressed the suits she wears, she is just straight up Bob Fosse, you know, at the mall, which is already a level of superiority that we can't touch. I feel like the suits are slick. I feel like they secretly look like you can get them at J. Crew, but they are coated with a nectar that will electrify you. Ooh. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then also, she'll have like a superstar on her talk show. I don't know who's coming to mind. Beyonce or whatever. Uh-huh. This is what happens. Before Beyonce comes out, Ellen goes backstage and points at Beyonce and says, I'm going to play Can't Stop the Feeling by Justin Timberlake, and you better dance. And then she slams the door and walks out. And then Beyonce has to do it, and then she probably does it.
Also, Ellen likes to pull pranks on people. You ever seen her like scare the shit out of Taylor Swift?
Loves people then, sneaking up behind celebrities.
And then they come back for it.
Yeah.
They come back for more.
And Ellen loves, I mean, like, Ellen is a little too tickled by that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, the rush that goes through her is, shall we say, freaky.
How many people does she drive by and just shoot? She killed Biggie.
Surprise.
I would believe that.
Good reportage there. That's my list.
So my power list, right at the bottom is American Horror Story.
Okay.
Just the whole idea thereof.
It is a mess every season, but somehow people are always watching it. I'm still watching it.
I call it Goosebumps for Troubled Gay Teens.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like actresses running around, you know.
And plus, Joan Collins is in it. Angela Bassett is in it.
Hasn't she been in like every season?
Yes, Ryan Murphy is like sewing this shit up.
Well, maybe that's what keeps Angela looking like butter, is secretly it's the American Horror Story juju.
And now she's on that 911 show.
Plus Ezekiel bread.
No dairy.
Protein.
A gluten allergy. Mm-hmm. Oat milk.
Oh, yeah, she did say oat milk. Yeah.
My grandkids better be quoting that video someday. Some legendary shit.
After that, I have Publicists.
Oh, okay. Sure. I'm scared of them. Mm-hmm.
You try and show up to a party, and they will give you a look and say, I know who you are, and I know that you are not on this.
Natasha, are you looking for it? Because I feel like, I mean, you're already, obviously, like, you start Insecure, but, like, you're about to, like, blow up.
I will take that. I don't.
You are, and so you're now going to be able to go up to Publicists and just be like, it's Natasha.
Me. Can I tell you, this is the honest, true evolution of, like, me learning that is something that people think. not even something I believe. Like the HBO Emmy party last year, mm-hmm. I like stood in the line with just like people because I'm a person. And I had like HBO suits come and take me from the Lyft line. And they're like, what are you doing? And I was like, I took a Lyft here. I'm just like, you know, and they're like, you're in that line. And I was just like,
oh, there's a different line.
Oh, wow.
There's a different line. And it was a publicist that spotted me in the line, speaking of, was just like, you belong over here. And I was just like, no, I actually should have driven the Lyft, but I've tricked them into giving me a ticket. So I put on a Spanx and a dress.
Did Julia Louis-Dreyfus descend in like an Angels uniform and like just pull you up?
She was shot out out of a cannon. Yeah, 100%.
I have Rami Malek on this list.
That's a weird addition.
I just think he's really gorgeous.
He has power over you.
Power over me. Yes. And he is going to get me to watch that Queen movie.
Yeah, for
that 70% of it was directed by Bryan Singer. I know.
Wait, can I say something about that, though? You're telling me this man gets to wear a hoodie on the USA Network and then he gets to play Freddie Mercury? It seems a little like a jump to me. Moving along.
Nick at Night TV Land.
Is it on your power list?
Because I feel like Hollywood executives are scouring it.
Do you know what we're doing
for reboots?
Right now?
Oh, the reboot potential. Okay.
They're scouring it for reboots. Okay. I had a point. Let me get to it.
You know what show I do want to come back from the 70s? Maude. If we're talking about, we were talking about Norman Lear once upon a time.
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be a good show to come back. Adrienne Barbeau, come hang out with us. Yeah.
I did a table reading of the episode where she gets an abortion.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. And I played Florida. I was very,
that
it was full circle.
Rules.
It was an amazing episode.
Okay.
Cosign.
Shake Shack. It's number two. Just because I don't know what power it has that people keep talking about it like it's better than In-N-Out.
It is.
I think
that Shake Shack launched a covert mission to funnel In-N-Out money to the GOP to set them up so that people would stop eating In-N-Out.
Is this Jeanine Pirro? What is happening here?
Only she could do it.
Shake Shack is outside Hillary Clinton's home. Right now, and I'm going to get the truth.
Shake Shack is better than In-N-Out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally. The salted caramel shake?
I mean, for sure. It's not even, like, it's this is a crazy conversation we're having right now. It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Anyway.
Get to your number one.
My number one thing that is keeping all of Hollywood glued to their television screens is the UK reality TV series Love Island. It is so good.
I'm sorry our host was drunk tonight.
I feel like Ira did not understand the exercise.
Right. Everyone is tweeting about Love Island. I was at Emmy parties.
Everyone?
People were talking about Love Island. Kidding. It is, they take hot people, put them on an island, and they have to couple up with each other. And then at the end of the week, they recouple, and whoever doesn't have a partner gets kicked off the island.
What?
It is trashy.
So
it is elegant because they're talking.
It's just disappointment.
In British accents.
It's the disappointment of dating in LA as a reality show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's all I'm watching. Listen, I could have had a traditional list, all right? But
and
let
by
me
that,
tell
you mean
you
one
something.
That makes sense.
Okay, well, you know what? Power is in the eye of the beholder.
It's also a Starz series.
Natasha, do you have any additions to our power list?
I could. Okay. I would put Beto O'Rourke.
Oh, sure.
There we go. Oh, he's
got some power.
Did you watch the video? There's a video of him talking specifically about what he was going to do for black women in Texas. I literally watched that video and went and made a donation.
And
even kidding.
It was so powerful that Ted Cruz reposted it thinking he was trolling. But then he got like millions of people to watch a very common sense message on gun control.
Yes.
I was like, I fucked with him so hard.
Ted Cruz is running his campaign like Mr. Magoo.
Also, can I say, Beto O'Rourke looks a little too much like Jon Favreau for my comfort. Like a little, like the two of them, I feel like
I've never seen them in the same place together.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Actually, they did do that show in South by Southwest.
They've been together a lot.
Yeah.
Or did they?
I'm just saying they could do like a
or did they?
Right. A Harpo
there was
Marx.
Just a mirror in the middle of the stage.
They could do a Harpo Marx Lucille Ball mime routine together. Yeah. Like just like totally identical and no one would say anything anyway.
But I feel like regardless of the outcome of the election, I feel like he's going to be a mainstay and a tastemaker in politics.
I concur.
Yeah.
I concur.
Yeah.
I mean, I hit that donate button real quick.
Oh, I hit it so hard. I like called people and I was just like, what is the legal amount I can get? And not like go to jail and did that.
And donating is great, but we need people to actually vote. So go to Vote Save America if you live in Texas.
Vote.
And vote for them.
Do it. It's the most, like, put voting on the power list. Like, that should be number
voting
one.
Voting should be
should be on the power list. How about that?
Voting.
And rom-coms, generally.
Yes! It's coming back!
I mean, they are coming back hard, and I am like...
I'm sorry, you were the best part of Love, Simon.
Oh my God, thank
okay?
you.
Oh my... Like, oh, these cute teens are in love, but... Natasha's so funny.
Also, just like the hard-bitten drama coach. Like, we just don't see that enough, and I love it so much. It's so, I knew that drama coach.
Where
that,
is your spinoff?
Yeah. Oh, you were? Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Where is your spinoff?
I'll talk to Greg Berlanti. I'll be like, hey, let's just write it. We did this one bit where I talked about being on a cruise. It didn't make the movie because we were just, you know, he's like improvising, like, you know, do this background bit. And I was just talking to Nick Robinson and I was just like, you know, where I got my start. Carnival, 1994. I was like, we should shoot that.
You're doing Our Town to the shuffleboard deck.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
How did Wonder Woman even come about?
I auditioned on tape like a real LA actor, and it was like a 2 or 3 month process because I did it and I just like, you know, said a blessing over it. And I was like, go on, you know, go with God. And about maybe a month or 2 months later, I got a call and my agents were more excited on the phone than I was picking up. So I was like, something either terrible or great has happened. And they're just like, you got it.
Did you have to wear like 80s regalia?
No, I honestly, like everything is so lock and key and I had to sign away like my life in order to like do it. But what I can say is just like the process of after I booked it, I get an email, right? Very like Inspector Gadget, this email will blow up in like 30 seconds time. And I thought it was spam. Again, this speaks to the Lyft version of me. I was like, no one's going to send me encrypted mail except someone who wants to like steal my money. So I like put it in the spam folder. And then later, it was like later that day. And I was just like, let me just double check. And I looked and I had to like create a login and a password. God. Logged in and it was an email from Patty Jenkins.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
For an email?
It was like an email. She was just like, you know, we're so excited to have you on board. Can't wait to work with you. And I was just like.
An encrypted welcome email is my gist.
Bitch, you made it.
I was just like, this is real. This is. That's how I knew it was because I'm very like, until I'm there, it's not real.
Yeah. Right.
So that was the moment where I was just like, oh, I need to. This is real.
Can I also say one of my favorite things that you do is every day you tweet a reminder to Donald Trump that he is an absolute piece of shit.
I do.
So I'm wondering if you have a message for him today.
Oh,
over
yeah.
The airways. Yeah.
For sure. Usually I'm just like, I remind him that he's trash and always is going to be trash.
He is fraudulent.
He's fraudulent. He's a megalomaniac. He's narcissistic. I feel like he's inept. I feel like he's. Yesterday's was "You're a virgin who can't drive."
Yes.
And so I enjoyed that.
Unfortunately, you used 4 words that he definitely doesn't understand.
I know.
Message will also be encrypted to him. Just
it'll, I know. He'll need a login and a password.
Right.
But no, it's after he got elected, I was just like, every day I wake up with a great amount of anxiety. And yes. I was just like, I need something just to be a little release valve. And so it's kind of fun in the morning to think of like, how can I drag him today? Or like, and it's always, I give myself open to the world. Like, how am I inspired to drag him?
Yes.
Right now, I just want him to go fuck himself. So
there's that.
I'll say what? Keep it simple.
Yeah.
Sometimes simple is best.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Fuck that fraudulent heifer. Yeah. Natasha.
Hi.
I'm just like so happy you're here.
I'm so happy to be here.
I know we gotta wrap this up and shit, but
we just wanna keep this
just
going all
around.
Day.
Just stay here.
You don't
stay
have anywhere
here.
To be, right?
No, I truly don't. I truly don't. That's a lie.
Gal Gadot's like waiting outside.
I know. Yeah. The car's gonna blow up if I'm not
down. The HBO Lyft is coming to get her right now.
I would drive it. I honestly would drive it.
Tell people where else they can find your shit.
Like me?
Yes. Oh. If we want more Natasha.
If you want more me, I'm on Twitter always. At Natasha Rothwell. Mm-hmm. And you can check me out this Sunday on the season finale of Insecure.
Yes.
I co-wrote it with Issa and it's directed by Regina King.
Oh my God. Oh my, I didn't
what?
Know this.
Is she trying to get an Emmy for directing?
I think so.
Oh my God. Wow. I'm so
she's the realist. From the jump on set. She would stop mid-sentence and just be like, you are so not Kelly. Uh-huh. And she was just so shocked that like, it's act like I'm so not her. And so it was just a treat to work
That's
with
already
her.
An iconic trio.
Yeah.
Wow.
Truly.
So it was just, truly my life would be complete if I only ever work with those women.
That's
so.
The Charlie's Angels reboot I want.
Hello? I would do that.
Or a Mod Squad.
Let's do it.
I don't know.
CC Bob Iger.
China Beach.
China Beach. Yeah, no.
Dana Delaney would do this show. Don't joke. Yeah.
Natasha, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Of course.
When we're back, keep it. And we're back. We keep it. Our favorite segment of the week. Although second favorite this week.
I know. Natasha was my favorite.
She was so good.
Mm-hmm.
Her spirit is still here.
It is.
And Warner Brothers just came in and made us sign NDAs.
Patty Jenkins sent us an encrypted message that said, settle down.
Lewis, what's your keep it?
It's been a long week for Sesame Street homosexuality news, which I'm happy for. But so this happened that one of the people who wrote on Sesame Street specifically said about writing for Bert and Ernie that he considered them kind of a gay couple, or that's where he was coming from as a gay man writing for them.
Well, not the creator,
right?
As I mistakenly thought, Love It or Leave It, and I got a few tweets about it. Calm down, Twitter.
Well, one of the main creators, Frank Oz, who was like a voice of a number of the Muppets, including Miss Piggy, tweeted in response, "It seems Mr. Mark Saltzman, the writer in question, was asked if Bert and Ernie are gay. It's fine that he feels they are. They're not, of course. But why that question? Does it really matter? Why the need to define people as only gay? There's much more to a human being than just straightness or gayness." Okay, I mean, that's like basically like a light gay bashing. Like, you're trying to sound woke, you're actually sounding like you just want gay people to go
what
away.
What are you if you suck felt?
Yes.
Well, I thought the rest of that tweet was going to be, of course they're not, they're fucking puppets, yes, is what I assumed the rest of that tweet would have been, which would have been the only sane response.
Well, that's what Sesame Street actually ended up tweeting. But when people say things like that too, I'm like, but they're puppets playing like that are supposed to be human representations. Humans are often gay anyway. I have
Miss Piggy is horny like a housewife with a cam.
But I'm precisely no. But yes, right. She and Kermit hitting it. That's how it works.
Honestly, she is always leaping on him. Like,
how is Miss Piggy not been Me Too'd? To be honest.
Yeah, come through.
Poor Kermit.
Come through, Scooter.
Kermit always looks scared.
Time's up, Miss Piggy.
But I wanted to say, Frank Oz actually apologized for that. He seems like a generally rad person. But keep it to people who have not talked about the gayness of the Muppets until now. There are several gayish Muppets. Bunsen Honeydew and Beaker, the scientists, what's going on with them and their high-pitched noises? Two, Guy Smiley, the game show host, who is coke-addled, and I know he knew Merv Griffin in the 80s.
That's a puppet?
Yes. He's like, he goes, thank you, and he like hosts game shows.
Yes.
Cookie Monster, we all have that guy on Grindr who responds to us with just num num several times. He's one of those. And then lastly, Big Bird. Okay, do you remember this about Big Bird? He had an imaginary friend.
Snuffleupagus.
Correct. Which nobody could see for the longest time. This child bird, had visions of a giant trunked hairy thing that just went unexplained. That's among the gayer things that's ever happened on the street of Sesame. That's just what I'm saying.
I like to believe I'm Rami Malek's Snuffleupagus.
That is strange.
No one can see us together, but our love is for real.
Okay, well, no, that's delusion. We've moved from a fantasy into a problem.
We're talking about puppets. All of it's fantasy.
Okay, well, for you, for now.
This goes straight to the top. Okay.
Anyway, Sesame Street's, love Sesame Street, and also I love Grover, and my mom did all the voices for all the characters when she would read stories to me growing up, so it's a very important
thing. I still have my Grover. From when I was a child.
The doll?
It's at my parents' home, yeah.
Mm. Do you remember everything Grover
does? The actual one. I snuck into Sesame Street and I kidnapped him.
My favorite thing Grover does is he's always like, I'm so embarrassed. That's my favorite thing he does. I love a puppet with shame.
He's nude.
Right.
Anyway.
Dear God.
Kara.
My keep it is to whatever the fuck Spotify and Ancestry.com were thinking. They announced this week that they were going to partner up and you can link your DNA test results from Ancestry.com to your Spotify account, and they would make you a playlist with notions of your taste on top of music that is popular or culturally significant from your ancestral homelands. That doesn't even make any sense, first of all. Second of all, really the only thing that I'm irritated about is you have all of these engineers, all of these people who can code and computer and whatever the hell they're doing over there. Can you guys spend some time doing some shit that's actually helpful? Stop the hacking. Make sure we don't get fucking hacked again the next election. Nobody needs this.
Take care of my student loans.
Right? Stop using, figure out how to hack, what's the student loan?
Sally Mae.
Exactly.
Navient.
And erase everyone's records. Do that shit. We don't need this. We don't need you putting Fela Kunti on someone's Spotify playlist because you heard that whatever percentage they were. And I don't understand it. I think that it only could result in something a little racist, to be honest.
You're telling
Toto's
me,
Africa.
Yeah. Like,
you're telling me, like, so I'm, like, deeply Polish. Like, I would go onto my Spotify and they might play, like, a mazurka for me or, like, some, like, beer barrel polka.
Also, you're Polish. You could go listen to that if you wanted to.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
Here's some Keek the Snake.
Right. It doesn't make sense, and I don't like it.
Spotify, we love you because Keep It's on it, but stay away from Ancestry DNA and stay away from Amy Schumer.
Or do some playlists. Spotify, do some playlists that can, like, hypnotize Donald Trump. Like,
sure.
That music. Like, I don't know. Just, I think they should all brainstorm some more useful playlists for us. Stick to Rap Caviar, to be honest. That one's great, too.
Do you think Donald Trump listens to Spotify?
I don't know. No.
I don't think anybody in the White House has Spotify Premium. I know that.
They're all listening to the commercials.
You could use that money to lock up children. You can't have Spotify Premium. My Keep It this week. Oh, my God. We are talking about Pete Davidson every fucking week on the show.
I know.
But
he looks like if, like, Steve Buscemi were a fetus. To me. I say that affectionately.
Well, Joaquin Phoenix in The Joker decided to... Pete Davidson. He looks like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
It was a joke.
I see it now, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he was on The Howard Stern Show.
He still does that?
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know why this still exists, but, you know, people will ask that when Keep It's still on next week. He was talking about his relationship with Ariana Grande, and he said the first time that they hung out, he was really, really nervous, and any time that they're intimate, he's always apologizing and saying, thank you, you're awesome for doing this, thank you so much. And then he added...
That sounds like an email.
I was jerking off to her before I met her.
Oh, God.
I didn't need to know that.
Yeah, oof. I sure didn't.
Does she know he's saying this?
Right in front of my salad. She loves it.
Does she know?
Probably. I remember she made, like, a Twitter joke and then deleted it once about him having a big dick.
Oh.
She likes it.
Ariana, I've become a recent fan of yours.
I
would like her to not disappoint me. And I know this isn't her. This is Pete. But I'm a new fan, somewhat reluctant, but I'm on board. But we're walking a tight line here.
Also, you know what I'll say? Like, in terms of people who are hilarious on SNL, if we're talking about that couple, Ariana does a good job.
Louis Vertel, ladies and gentlemen. he is signing off of Keep It.
Just walked away.
Forever.
My umbrella is taking me away.
Yeah. Mary Poppins returns.
That's right.
I did like your meme, though. You had, like, shown Pete Davidson saying that, and then you had the meme of the lady, like,
in front of my salad.
Yeah.
It's just so... Ugh! I don't want to know about straight people jerking off. It's gross.
Or anyone, to be honest.
Well, you know. Sure, yes. Or anyone.
That was too contemplative.
Yeah, that
I got scared.
Took too long.
Yeah.
I mean... I'm not going to name names.
Please don't.
Don't.
Oh, my
names.
God.
Names.
Kara, get your things.
It's been a long show already.
Wow. All right. I guess we've had enough this week. If you would like my list of people that I'm...
Help me, God.
I'm kidding. Time's up. Have a good week. We'll see you next week. Whatever. Bye. This has been Keep It.